everyone, welcome. And today is Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023. It is hump day. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is my turn to talk. I can't talk. Hey, Shelby, Shelby, welcome. And to anyone streaming on any other platform today, welcome. Welcome, one and all. Hey, Brina, Brina. As always, I do hope everyone is having a wonderful day. Yes, Shelby, I am having a cup of tea. Hey, Ace, welcome. Frankie's over on YouTube. She says, my phone died. Tell everyone hello. So hello to everyone from Frankie from YouTube. Her phone died. I know you did. And I hope you made them. And it's helping you. Okay, so let's stop this, and you guys give me 1 second. Gotta make sure I don't spill over here. Okay, so what's on the menu for today? Living the sermon. How many people pretend to have it together when their life is really falling apart? And that's probably everybody. That's probably everybody at some point in their life, but do some people take it further? Do some people... why do some people? I'm not going to say do some people because I know that they do. Why do some people take it further and almost live another life? Why do some people almost live a whole other life that they don't live, that they, you know, I don't want to necessarily say they pretend that they're something that they're not, but they talk a good game where people will think that their life is together when it's really not. So that's my question. Hey, Mid Minnesota, welcome. And DA Select, welcome. Welcome, my friend. DA and I will be doing a show, Friendly Differences, this Saturday. And it's going to be fun. And it's going to be another, he wanted to do it. So we're going to do it again. Oh boy, does size matter? We're going to do that one again. Tegan, welcome. Welcome. So, good, Shelby. Good. Okay, so, Ace, I have not seen your show. I'll have to catch it. So why do some people, I don't want to say they pretend that they're someone that they're not, but they give the perception that there's something, or their life is something that is not. And again, you know, we've all been there where we have it together when it's not. I can think of two times in my life when my life was falling apart and people knew it was falling apart. one was in the 90s when I broke up with an ex-boyfriend who made my life hell. And I was going through some serious financial issues. And another was after I was married, someone went into my husband's, me and our joint account and pretty much wiped us out. That was hard. That was very, very hard. You know, when people would say, you know, how's everything going? It sucks. You know, I am broke. When I say broke, I mean broke, no money at all. Thank goodness, between my parents and his parents were able to help us pay a lot of bills, you know, but to this day, every so often the bank will call and I get a new debit card. So, and that happened years ago. But why do some people, why do they give the perception? I mean, why go that far, especially if they're people that you don't even know? Why take it to that level? Why do people go there? I mean, if you don't know someone and you're never, more than likely, never going to meet them, or even if you did, you know, why take it to that level? Why do people give that perception? Is it to make themselves feel good, to make other people, you know, think that they're something that they're not? Is it for the adulation? And A says everyone wears a facade to an extent. Yes, they do. But how deep the facade differs, and that's what I'm talking about. You know, you can ask someone, you know, how are you doing? And a lot of people say fine. You know, and fine could mean many different things. I mean, and for a lot of times, when people ask how you're doing, and we talked about this before, do people really want to know? You know, some people go into long drawn out, well, you know, my dog died today, and then my husband did this, and then my wife did this, and then my kids, and then my boss. I mean, okay, that's too much. You know, we don't need to know that. But as A said, how deep does the facade go? And is it necessary? I mean, even with people that you do know, even with people that you can get in your car or walk down the street or get on your bike, whatever, and go over to their house and see, you know, what's going on. But then a lot of times you can go into someone's house and you don't know what is going on. You don't know that there's really someone getting beat every night. You know, the dog is getting beat, the kids, the wife, the husband, the grandparents. You don't know. But is that facade, the people who take it to the next level, is it necessary? Should people let people who are closer to them know how difficult things are, how bad things are? And Brennan Bringen says, I agree with Ace. Some just have that huge ego that won't allow them to be themselves. Some just tread lightly until they feel comfortable. Okay. And Brennan, you know, you're right. And, you know, is it the ego? But at the end of the day, when you turn off social media, you turn off the TV, you turn off your phone, you're still in the same spot that you were in 24 hours ago, unless something else changed. So during that day, I mean, does that make you feel better? But if it makes you feel better, does it make you feel better enough to try to change your situation, to try to be that person that you're pretending to be? And I'm going, and right now I'm talking just on the ego thing for what Brina says. And A says, we live in a society where you're judged immediately without validation. Struggle is a weakness and frowned on. Last thing most want is to appear weak or look down upon. But Ace, what does that say about the person looking down on you? Because if anything, I would tend to look down on the person who is taking that facade to the next level, as opposed to saying, you know what? I lost my job. I'm having a hard time paying my bills. You know, I mean, because during COVID, there were a lot of people who were in the same spot. There are a lot of people who moved back home and living in their parents' basements, or their parents were moving back and moving in with the kids living in their basement. You know, everyone, this isn't just my opinion, there will always be somebody who is better off than you, and you will always be better off than someone else. And what I mean by that is, I've never been homeless, but I have seen homeless people who have more than other homeless people. Are you one of those people who are actually able to find a spot under the freeway when it's raining, as opposed to the person that didn't and they're out in the rain? Are you the person who has $2 in their pocket as opposed to $1.75? And Brina says, some people never get off social media and they probably don't know how to be themselves. So do you think that social media has caused this? Do you think that social media has caused people to, for that facade to get worse? Because to me, people have always put on a facade. Does social media allow it to be even more? Because, you know, I mean, because right now we're talking to each other, but how many of us really know each other personally? How many people can actually get up and go over to someone's house, can get up and touch them? You know, you've actually, you know, seen, you know, someone's house, their car, whatever. But even then, that doesn't mean anything. You know, there are a lot of people, I mean, look at these people on TV, the athletes, I don't want to call them movie stars because there's not that many movie stars anymore, but the celebrities, you know, the singers and songwriters who make millions. But a lot of them are so deep in debt. A lot of them, you know, don't pay their taxes because they can't. Some of them get in debt because they haven't paid their taxes. Alpha Mike, welcome. You know, so what has social media made it worse? And Shelby says, my close friends can read me like an open book. They know when something is wrong. Okay. And A says, I hear what you're saying. However, in my studies, I found that people care more of what others perceive of them, how they perceive themselves. Probably a lot in part of social media clicks. Okay. Okay. And Brina says, Shelby, that's beautiful. I love that. I have a few close friends like that, and they really help on those rough days. Yeah, I mean, you do have those people in your life who know. Okay, Salad, come on now. What's going on? I mean, you know, you have those people, and those are the people that you need to keep you grounded. But can those people keep you from taking the facade deeper? T-Gun says, I'm one of the exceptions to that. I don't give a crap what people think of me. I know I'm a beast. Okay. Only a select few. And A says, oh, there are definitely exceptions. I don't deny that. You might hear one great exception. Brina says, I don't think social media caused it, but it doesn't help them how to learn to be themselves. Big fuzzy lint roller. I don't know, T-Gun. That sounds kind of gross. Okay, Shelby's agreeing with me there. And Brina says, with famous people, I think they allow people to put them on a pedestal and they feel they have to keep up with that. I mean, but you look at MC Hammer. I mean, at one point, he had like 10 cars and he had 300 or so people on his payroll. You know, so when you look at that, you know, and he even said, you know, when he lost it all, that you don't need, you know, in reality, if you're one person, you don't need more than one car. And he said he had people on his payroll that he didn't even know, because he was hiring the friend of a friend of a friend. And it was a lesson learned. It was a lesson learned for him. So what, you know, so was he living a facade? So is there a difference between living a facade and living, pretending that your life is great? Is there a difference between a facade and living beyond your means? Is there a difference? Hey, Blunt, is there a difference? Brina says, MC Hammer's story was tragic. He was way too kind, but I have to give it to him. It took him some years, but he got out of the predicament that he was in. And he says now he lives within his means. You know, so... And Alpha says a lot of mental baggage comes with people who are famous. A says there is a very thin line between facade and living within your means in this society. Brina says, completely agree. I'm working on having my teenager not be a follower right now. Okay, so wouldn't you say, though, because celebrities... Some of them do tend to live outside of their means, even if they have millions. You know, because when you think about it, if someone were to give you, you know, you go on a game show, they're like, you have won $1 million. And even if they don't take out taxes, let's say they give you the whole thing. $1 million is not a lot of money. I mean, when you think about it, and people want to go run and buy a house and you want to buy this and you want to buy that, you want to buy this. And, you know, I mean, $1 million to me, you can blow that well within a year. You know, so, and then A says, if you invest, you can make that stretch, but most wouldn't. Yeah. You know, or not even necessarily invest, you know, just, can you save it? Do you have to spend, you know, again, the facade and living beyond your means. Is it a facade to go and spend, you know, $700 on a pair of tennis shoes because they have Air Jordan written on them? You know, is that pretending that you're someone that you're not? Or is it that you just, you know, that you're just living beyond your means? I used to work with a girl when I worked at this telecommunications company who every paycheck she would run. She would go down to Saks Fifth Avenue, Neiman Marcus, and She would spend her whole paycheck on clothes, shoes, bags, the Louis, the Gucci's, everything. But she didn't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. And she used to go from place to place. She would ask different people, can I stay with you? Girl, you know, my apartment's getting this, or my house is this, or I'm in between this, you know. And to the point where people just, you know, they knew what she was doing and they just stopped allowing her to, until the job found out that she was sleeping under her desk at night. But she looked good. She was wearing those $300 suits. She was carrying those Fendis and those Louis, whatever. She was looking good. So is that a facade, or is that living beyond your means? And Brina says, money is emotional. When people spend beyond their means, it's obvious something's going on. But is something going on, or is it just the fact that you are just someone that, you know, why do you have to have that Louis? Can't you get a fake one? I've seen people carry some knockoffs that you have to look twice to see if it's really, you know, the real thing. And they got them cheap. You know, I mean, cheap, cheap. You know, instead of getting those flip-flops that have a little, you know, G on it or whatever, can't you just go down to CVS Drugs or Walmart and get some flip-flops? I mean, I'm sorry. I'm spending like $2 on a pair of flip-flops. You know, I mean, I'm just saying. You know, Shelby says, that's why my shoes are diabetic shoes. T-Gun-Sun, she may have looked good, but what was her health like, physical and mental? Being homeless isn't good for the psyche. You know, as far as I know, her health was fine. She was able to, she wore braces on her teeth, so she was able to afford that. You know, we had a great health plan, but you still got to pay your, you know, braces were not cheap. You know, so, you know, it just would get to the point where people just stop wanting to help her. You know, she came to me a couple of times, hey, you know, can you, you know, give me money for train fare? No. Girl, you don't tell me. Nope. Take back that purse. That's a monthly pass. And she would look at you whenever people would suggest returning something. So again, is that a facade that you're trying to show people, or you're just living beyond your means? And will that facade put you in a situation where you are sleeping under your desk at work? And I don't mean sleeping under your desk at work because you truly are having a hard time. You truly are having financial issues. You know, you truly cannot pay for something because you're scrambling to pay for something else and your paycheck is just not covering it. You are walking around in those $2 flip-flops as opposed to the $200 flip-flops. But do some people, ACM, you want to come up? Hold on, let me, there you go. Hey, Ace, welcome.
Hi, Miss Solid, how are you?
Good, I'm good.
You were in the middle of getting ready to say something. I didn't want to interrupt that. My apologies.
No, no, fine. I mean, whatever you want to come up. Come on up. Oh, and before you start, I do want to say this. Yesterday, someone asked to come up at the end of the show, like while I was playing the song. So guys, we just want you to know, when I tell people, you know, the last words and when I start the song, I clear the panel and I will not ask anyone up after the song plays, because then the show will go on another 5 hours. So anyway, I'm sorry, Ace. Go on.
No, you're fine. So with the lady that you were speaking of work, that becomes a point where it's living beyond your means. But when it comes to what I was saying earlier about how your facade and living outside your means can become a very thin and blurry line. Easiest example for me to use, which it happens in adult life too. But when we think about kids, we often think about, you know, the bullying that happens on in school and things like that nature. So using a teenager as an example, a teenager who gets a scholarship to a private high school that is filled with rich kids, but this teenager comes from the suburbs, they're going to want to put on the facade to fit in. They're not going to want to stand out more than they're already going to. So if I'm going to a rich high school and I'm from an area where we don't have that kind of money, I'm going to try my best to ensure that I have the things that make me look like I belong, like I have money. There is a teenager that I know that has gone, their mom works two jobs. It's just them and their mom trying to keep a roof over their head. They went and got a job and they go out and they buy those fashionable items, whatever's new and hot, so that when they go to school and everybody's talking about, oh yeah, did you hear about the new shoes coming out? She doesn't look like she doesn't belong. So sometimes that living outside your means, even though her money could go to a lot better use, it could go towards the household, which shouldn't be her responsibility. Like I said, mom is working two jobs to keep the roof over their head. But there are more responsible things she absolutely could do with her money. But it's for her, it's a lifeline. It's either I show them who I really am, and they see that I come from a very poor background and that I'm here on a scholarship, or I pretend to be one of them and don't have to be bullied for the rest of my high school career.
But Ace, okay, you make a very good point, and I think all of that is 100% true. But don't you think that there are probably other people who are walking around, even some of the rich kids, who are also, you know, putting on that facade?
Oh, they're absolutely putting on facades. First of all, you know, school, we're trying to figure out who we are, so facades.
I mean, and I say that, Juju, welcome. And I say that because having worked in entertainment and having had to literally go to places like Beverly Hills High, where I'm dropping something off for someone who's going to go in to read for a producer or something the next day, whatever. And I'm walking into that school, or I'm waiting for someone in the parking lot, and my mouth is hanging open because I'm like, here are these kids who are, you know, 14, 15, 16, 16, 17, however old you are to drive. And they're driving around in Porsches and Mercedes and all these high-end cars, or they have, you know, chauffeurs picking them and dropping them off. But I'm also kind of just shaking my head because I also just got finished telling someone that, okay, you just got a check for this particular role, but you have to pay this bill. These bills have to be paid, but they don't want to pay them because they want to go out and spend their money on this. But meanwhile, back at the office, they have all these bills that have not been paid.
Mm-hmm.
And their kids are walking around in all these, you know, oh, look at me, and I'm driving this car. It's like, your father can't even afford the car note. And these are people who make millions upon millions of dollars. So, you know, that's why, okay, Ace, let me ask this, and I'm going to change the subject just a little bit. From mm-hmm. what you said about the mother, you know, going out and buying the name brand things or whatever so their kid would not feel left out, don't you think that's why, no matter what school you're in, I don't care if you're in a high-end school, if you're in a poor school, whatever, everyone should wear uniforms?
I am for uniforms, but at the same token, I am also for being able to express your individuality. Now, my kids currently go to public school. No uniform is enforced. Of course, they have a form of dress code, but not a uniform. If they were to tell my children tomorrow that they had to go in a uniform, I would be fine with that. But what I would not be fine with is you telling my kid that they still can't wear certain accessories that make them feel be able to express who they are.
Well, that I do believe. I do believe that the uniforms are fine, but if your kid wants to go to school with half their hair pink and the other half blue, mm-hmm. and but they're still, you know, doing their homework and they're not causing any issues, they should be able to do that. So yes, I absolutely think that, but a uniform would cut down on that and take it in. Even further, what if we did have a society where no one knew that, you know, Michael Jordan had all this money, or Oprah had all this money, or who's the guy from Amazon?
Bezos.
Yes, you know that he had all this money. What if we had a society where you still had rich people? You had filthy rich people, but everybody had to live in the same kind of house. Everyone had to drive the same kind of car. You know, but you can still wear, if you want to go out and spend, you know, $1 million on a watch or whatever, you can still do that. You can still wear whatever accessories you want, but would it cut down on people having to have a facade or a perception if everyone was a Stepford wife, so to speak?
I'm going to say, in my opinion, it wouldn't, because society as a whole, not necessarily the individuals like us, but those who quote unquote run society, would still find a way to make sure to pit us against each other. It's going to always be about the new highest end thing. So yes, we're all driving the same car. Yes, we're all living in the same, you know, same type of house, same yard. But what kind of TV do you have? What kind of, you know, what kind of watch do you have? What kind of clothes do you wear? You know, are you eating out at this restaurant, or are you going to McDonald's? They would still find a way to pit it at the end of the day.
Yeah. And then Blunt says, I shop at TJ Maxx and Marshall's for my name brand stuff. It might be last season, but I don't care. But I have not seen a 200 pair of flip-flops, though. Shelby, I have seen a pair of $200 flip-flops, and I have seen a $2,000 pair of flip-flops. There is someone that I used to, when I was a business manager for one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills way back when, her husband would always call and say, can you cut her off? Can you have her stop spending money? We cannot afford it. And we would get bills in for her with, you know, belts that cost, like, literally, I am not kidding, belts that were like $7,000. What do you need with the seven
crystals?
I mean, what do you need with a belt that's going to hold up your pants or whatever? I mean, seriously, you know, and I just, you know, you shake your head and you're like, really? You know, so. And yes, a society will find a way to pit us against each other, but will it be the way it is now?
I don't think it would be the same way that it is now, but it would be on a different level. It wouldn't be in the same areas that we're looking at it now, but I think that theoretically speaking, it would still be just as bad. It's just our focuses would be on different things.
Okay. Now, T-Gun says, I would love to be able to afford a nice car for my kid, but he's going to learn how to take care of himself before he gets the car. Okay. And then Brina says, now, this is a good question for you, Ace. It says, a bad example if the parent is spending beyond their means so the kid can fit in. They will cycle will repeat. Do you think that's true?
So, in this situation, and I think there might have been a slight misunderstanding, the kid is the one spending the money. That's why they went and got a job. Is the parent, if it was a parent situation where the parent's doing it, in a sense, they are setting a bad example. And I understand that need to want to give your kids more than what you have. But at the same token, it's one of those situations where do you stop and say, look, you either have to start doing this for yourself, because I've spoiled you all these years, which I'm still dying to see some parents to do that one. Or are you going to sit down and show them how to responsibly do it, even though you can sit down and say, look, I've messed up all these years. You know, you're 17 years old. I messed up. You know, I've been busting my butt doing two jobs to make sure we could afford a roof over your head and you could fit in school and not be that, you know, singled out child. But let's sit down and make sure that you understand the right way to do things. I don't want you to follow my footsteps. So it's a catch 22. Like, are you going to be that parent that levels that out? Or
but how do you level it out if you've allowed them to do it for X amount of time? How do you level that out?
I think it's going to be a different situation depending on every parent-kid relationship. So there are some kids that you have to give the quote-unquote tough love to. You have to just kick them out on their own, make them figure it out.
Then but how do you, but okay, ones. But Ace, but how are you, mm-hmm. okay, but if you've allowed your, if you've been part of the reason why your child is doing that, is it fair to all of a sudden I'm kicking you out or all of a sudden you got to do this on your own? Don't they, shouldn't you help them out a little bit?
Do I think it's fair? No, you're fine. Do I think it's fair? No, but at the same token, I know that it happens.
Okay.
And there are some kids that honestly do learn better on their own and on certain situations, not all, on certain situations. But to me, then we're starting to diving down into like the psychology side of things. And it really does. It depends on that person. And that relationship, especially if you don't have the right kind of relationship with your kid, how would you ever, whether you kick them out or try to help them, how are you ever going to mend that relationship and keep it properly balanced while getting them on the right foot where you left off on the wrong foot?
Okay. Hey, Miss Shelby, thanks for being patient.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm sorry. I sound bad. But I just want to
feel better.
I know. I just want to come up to tell y'all that our situation is different. We have a young daughter, our youngest daughter. I guess she's not young anymore. She was given every opportunity in life. We put her in competitive gymnastics. She done that. She was put in competitive cheer. She done that. We have two kids. And she was, every time, you know, my husband would give me money to tell me to go get, you know, buy me something. And I know that sounds bad, y'all, but that's the way it went in my household. I would end up spending it on her. She is very spoilt rotten. My point is, it's not that we like live beyond the means with her. It's this, that she was very spoilt in life. So therefore, she thinks now, not only am I having to pay for it, but her soon-to-be fiance is having to pay for it also. And I feel very bad about that fact because she will spend her money, but she only spends it for certain things. She won't spend it for other things that really, that like the cheaper things. She won't spend it, you know, she'll spend it on the cheaper things for herself, but things that are like over a certain amount of dollars, she'll spend his money on it.
So, okay. But didn't you kind of make her like that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So can't you just say no?
I ended up having to do that around about her senior year. It got to the point to where every time, every time we went shopping, and I mean, I was literally, it was to the point to where I was running out of clothes and all, you know, everything. And my husband said, do not spend this money on that child. If you do, and I find out about it, you will not get any more money, period. So, you know, I would have to tell her flat out, no, I can't, you know, this money was given to me for me, not for you. I mean, it was every time when she was little, every time we'd go out shopping, I would spend it all on her. I wouldn't spend it on me. And it got, you know, it was bad because my other daughter, she never went shopping with us anyway. I'm not saying that's an excuse, but she was left out a lot because she never went.
So, but when you go shopping, then you just don't buy her anything.
Yeah.
If she's going shopping, I mean, because there are many times that I went shopping with my mother and she was shopping and I didn't get anything. Mom, can I have? No. I'm shopping for me. You're just here.
Yeah, I wasn't like that. I always spent it on her.
Interesting.
Yeah, very, isn't it?
You know, having an only child who is so tight fist with his money. And I mean, he will not spend, to get my son to spend money is like, spend the damn dollar on something, you know, whatever. And I mean, how do you go on a trip and come back with more money than when you left with?
Oh,
and I say this because when he took his senior trip, and when we were gone, the tour place, whatever, they would give the kids like $10 for lunch and then $15 for dinner. And my son would not eat lunch. I'm like, are you not going to eat? He goes, no. I'm going to save it. But he would get something for dinner, but he would not spend the entire amount. And literally he bought like one thing the whole time we were gone. And when we came back and he's counting his money how do you leave on vacation? You come back with more money than you left with, you know, but he was always taught, to save your money. If you want it, then you're going to have to buy it. Of course, you know, when he was little, yes, we did get him stuff, but even now, you know, his birthday is in June and Christmas is 6 months later. And he'll see something. I'm like, well, why don't you get it? Oh, I'll wait for my birthday and that child will wait. Or I'll wait till Christmas and that child will wait. You know, for his graduation gift is something that he's been wanting for the last two years. I'm like, no, if you want to buy it, you want to buy it. And he hasn't bought it. So I told my husband, I'm like, you know, he really wants this, whatever, let's get it. You know, he's graduating. University is a big milestone.
Right.
You know, he will get it. You know, it's an Apple thing that's costing us an arm and a leg, but you know, he has worked hard and he will get it. But again, it's like, no, if you want it, you save your money. If you don't want it, then you have to wait. And this child will wait. I don't believe in giving children things just because they want it, because then what I really hope is that money does not become an issue with your daughter and her fiance.
Oh, no. Well, knock on wood, Lord willing, no, it won't. But I mean, you know, I regret it, you know, to the fact that he's having to pay for my mistake. You know, because he has to literally tell her, no, I'm not doing it. No, we're not doing that. No, I'm not going to. Your mother is my, you know, a thorn in my side. I'm not doing that, you know, type situation. Because she has told him before, well, my mama would have done it, you know. And I'm like, don't tell him that. Don't tell him that. That's not something you tell him, you know. And she's like, well, you would have. And I'm
but you're on your own and you're dealing with someone else, your mother, right, or your father. Yeah.
And that's what I told her. I said, you're on your own and you're now waiting for him for your engagement day, which is coming up really soon. And, you know, you're going to have to figure this thing out between the two of you. And if he's telling you no, even though you've got your own job, you've got your quotation own money saved up, if you want it, get it. If he's not willing to pay for it, tough luck. You know, I mean, I just feel really bad because I did the things that I did. If I had it to go back and do it all over again, I would not have done the things that I've done.
Okay. All right. And A says, my kids know when we pull up. Don't ask.
They
for
do.
Shit.
The minute we pull up to the store, I literally look in the back seat. Don't ask for shit.
You know, Ace, I'm sorry. I'm just laughing because I can just think of all the times that, you know, that we went shopping with my mother. And before we got out of the car, it was like the don't ask for shit thing. And when you get in that store, you better behave. And, you know, we were never one of those kids that are crying and yelling in the store and dragging your mother's, you know, dragging you behind. It was like we knew what it was before you get out of the car. You know what the rules are. And the don't ask for shit thing. And believe me, I think every parent says that. Don't ask for shit.
My mother did, you know, and that's one thing that I guess that's why I never told my daughter no, is because, you know, my mom always said, don't ask for shit. Don't touch nothing. Don't look at nothing. Don't even think about looking at nothing. And certainly don't even think about touching nothing.
Seriously, right. You know. Right. Yep. Right. You know, and then Lou said, I bought my sons anything they wanted because I didn't have any anything growing up. I personally just think that's bad, because there, you know, there are, you may not have had anything growing up, but when you give your kids anything that they want, you know, it's an expectation there. And, you know, it's like, you know, they will expect that, well, my father gave it to me. Well, why can't I? Where's that sense of responsibility that you have? There are things that you have to earn. You have to earn it. You know, you're not going to get it just because you want it. I mean, hell, there's a lot of things that we all want. We all want stuff, you know, but to give a child something just because they want it, for me personally, no.
See, I had to find a balance with my two growing up. It was very similar when they were really, really little. So when they were toddlers, I would always, it didn't matter if I was just running to the store for one item, I would always go to the clearance aisle, look for that one toy to bring home to both of them. But when they got older and they started to understand things, which now they're 11 and the other one turns 10 this month, it became the point where now it's that balance where they understand just because you want something doesn't mean you're going to get it. You do have to work for things. And they understand that when I sit here and tell them, look, I bought you this, but I cannot buy you this because I cannot afford it. They understand, no, mom's got bills to pay. Or when I go run to go make extra money, they understand that's bill money. That's not money for us to go spend. This is called mom's trying to hurry up and finish making the bills. When we get to the end of the month, then we'll see if I have extra money to do those fun things you want to do. So I found that balance, but I was afraid that I would be in a situation like Shelby, where I'm constantly giving you, and then eventually it's going to be one of those, now you're just going to always expect it. But thankfully, my kids have an understanding. I keep it very real with them. I sit down with them face to face so that we are eye level. None of this me towering over you thing. And we have real conversations so that they understand, look, this, mom has bills to pay. Like all the money you see coming in, that's literally where this is going. And I'll even show them when I'm done, this is my bank account. So when you say you want things, I understand, but you have to work for them because I don't just have extra money growing on trees.
So do you think that that's setting kids up to either be the facade or spending beyond their means as they get older? Either you're going to present a facade to the world that's not you, because, you know, or you're going to spend beyond your means because you gave your child everything, like they never had to work for it.
So for some things, my kids didn't work for other things they have. I think for the most part, I found what might be a healthy balance that works for us. Now, there are times where it's that one really big, Christmas and birthdays, they get that one big ticket item that they may not have worked their butt off for, But it's that one, they understand you get that one big ticket item. Everything else, like Christmas, we literally do. It's something you want, something you need, and something to read. That's okay. What you get.
Very good.
And they understand that. So while sometimes they do get things that they may not wholeheartedly have worked for and deserved, I think they understand the balance that until that special time, understand that those extra items you want may not be doable. They do understand, and they have seen what my water bill looks like, what my electric bill looks like, what rent looks like. And they understand that, unfortunately, I'm in a struggling situation and that I'm going to school to try to make our situation better. But I hope that they understand that part of the reason why I'm struggling is because I set myself up for failure. Because I did. I used to live beyond my means before them, and I'm still paying for it. And so I'm hoping that it sets the example of them, like, hey, let's try to avoid some of those mistakes mom made so that we don't do them. And I'm hoping they don't follow my footpath. But I mean, at the end of the day, they're their own kids. They're going to do what they're going to do. I can just only hope. They already know. You don't ask me for a car when you're 16. You want a car, you got to at least work for half of it. And you're going to pay your own insurance. Like, well, I'm not buying you a car at 16. So there are expectations that were set. They understand they're going to have to work, especially for really big ticket items. I can just only hope that when they do get their first job, that they're more responsible with their money than I was. And well, that hopefully I set that example.
Well, Ace, I can tell you that I was told right off, my sister and I were told right off, you are not getting a car when you turn 16. However, you will get a car if you when you turn 18, if through all 4 years in high school, you get straight A's. That wasn't going to happen. So they managed to get out of that one. And she says straight A. She says, I will accept A minuses, but they have to be A's. And, you know, and she knew, at least for me, she knew damn good well that was not going to happen. You know, so that car, you know, went right out the window. And I did not get my first car until I was, and some of y'all going to start laughing. I did not get my first car until I was 25. And that was because living in Chicago, I took the train and bus everywhere. I did not need a car. And even though, you know, a lot of my coworkers and friends, you know, were buying cars, and they would literally drive to the parking lot and it would sit. And then they would pay all this money for parking. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not getting a car until I absolutely need it. So I bought my car when I absolutely needed it. But yeah, you know, you do have those expectations. And, you know, kids, you know, so what, you're 16? No, you can't drive, you know, or you can get your license, but you're not getting a car. What have you done to get a car? Now, if you want to go out and work, and like you said, you know, I'll even help you pay some of your insurance. But the car? No, not when you turn to 16. You haven't even graduated from high school. What have you done where I'm going to give you a car? You know, so, you know, Ford Temple, I remember those. So I don't know. But, you know, again, I just want to ask, you know, going back to the original thing, do more people pretend because they want people to, and I'm not talking about the kids trying to keep up with their classmates. I'm talking about when you're an adult. Are you pretending because it's ego? Or are you pretending because you just don't want everyone to just know that, you know, instead of living here, you live there?
I know that, like I said, everybody to me, in my opinion, wears a facade, no matter what. Like I said earlier, the level of your facade differs depending on that person. For me personally, I try my best to keep it real. Now, don't get me wrong. If I'm in a group of strangers, you're probably not going to get a word out of me. So my facade's going to be the bitch of the group because I just don't do new people very well. I'm very introverted. But I will say that there are times where I know personally I am struggling very bad when it comes to money and making bills and making the rent to ensure that the roof is over my kids' house, but I don't ever speak on it. And a lot of that for me, it is partially ego. I was raised by a good portion of my life by a grandma who was very independent, who said, "You don't ask for help, you know, you do everything on your own, you prove that you can make it." And then to be in a society where I'm constantly told that because of the color of my skin and the fact that I'm a female, that I'm nothing but a failure, it became a matter of I can't let anybody know when I'm failing. I have to figure it out. And so I will grit my teeth and bear it in silence. So a good chunk of it is ego. It takes a lot for me to sit down and say something.
But is not speaking on it the same as you putting it out there that your life is so great?
In
But
the
I mean,
sense that everybody around me thinks that my life is fine, absolutely.
but if you're not, I mean, if you're not saying anything either way, I mean, because there, I mean, don't you guys know people? Because I know people like this that they don't say, you don't know anything about their private life at all. They can have millions or they can be dirt poor. But I mean, but they're not putting out anything either way. So that's why I'm saying that if you don't speak on it, is it ego or you just are not, you're just keeping your stuff to yourself?
But that's where it becomes a catch 22, in my opinion. Because even though I'm not speaking on it, you can see via actions that I'm still giving the perception that things are fine. Because you invite me out to your house knowing I don't have the gas
Okay, but
money, I
no,
don't tell
okay, but
you.
knowing, okay, but ha, but ha, but okay. Give me the perception, and this is just to me, y'all,
Okay.
and I could be wrong. Give me the perception that things are fine. Is that the same of giving the perception of things are like so great and my life is like this way and my life is that way and I have all this money and I have that? Is there such thing as everything's fine as opposed to you're actually putting it out there that everything's just wonderful?
I think I'm just a little confused on how you're looking at it, and that's probably just me. So I'll take it from the stance that Brina was taking earlier, social media. Now, if I were to go on social media and state that I've got all this money rolling in the bank and things like that, then no, I'm definitely putting on a huge facade that nobody asked for. Like nobody sees me face to face. They see that according to Facebook, I have, you know, a happy family, happy life, you know, where in the meantime, behind the scenes, that's not even the case, you know, no money. So, yeah, in that situation, if I look at it from that point of view, it to put it on using, like I said, the social media example, to put on social media that life is beyond wonderful when really it's not, that is. If I were to do that, I would say that was very much ego because I want everybody to be jealous and think that things are great when really behind that social media page, I could be sitting in the corner of an abandoned building and nobody would know. But I made sure that I put on just the right outfit, stood in front of right in front of the right house, you know, made it look like everything's peachy, or I'm, you know, in that one car, I'm right next to somebody's Lambo. I'm gonna take a picture. Make it seem like things are great. In that case, I would think a lot of that is ego and
Okay.
not wanting people to think that you're the failure. So you want them to think that you're doing better than them so that it maybe gives you a moment of solace, but I mean, it wouldn't last. Again, it's social media. You're doing it for the clickbaits.
Okay. All right. Chill. Welcome.
Hey, everybody. Solid.
Hey,
Am I,
hey.
are you smiling at me yet? I'm smiling at you, girl. Hey, y'all. I be like, first of all, the kids, give your kids an allowance, and then they'll understand money real quick. Once you give them an allowance, let them and not. I hate to say this because it's probably opened up a can of worms, but this is my biggest problem in relationships. Especially with single independent women, like the discipline to go into their children. Like, listen, give your kids an allowance. Stop giving them everything because you feel like you got to be the mom and the daddy. And give them allowance and teach them things like Like y'all talk HU and so speaking about teach them responsibility, money, especially money at an early age, because school don't teach us no nothing, little of value. You know what I'm saying? Teach them money. Give them $10 a week or whatever, $10 every 2 weeks. And then when they run out of $10, they're like, oh, I can't get this. You know what I'm saying? Now they understand that mommy and daddy, that's how mom is how for mommy and daddy, we get more than $10, but we got to pay things and we may run out of money. So we can't have things. And so that's the easiest way for me to teach my daughter the responsibility of money in general and how it works. Also, just not necessarily putting, because what's a good life as well? Like the guy that lives to 100 and he's, you know, lives less stressful life, or the guy that has a gajillion dollars and a bunch of stresses and I don't live to 52. I don't know. But for the most part, kind of gauge their what's materialism, what's important, what's not, because that helps too. Ground them so they don't get it out of hand. Like they think that trinkets and things are important. The subject y'all was just talking about, which I kind of forgot because I just got stuck on children. What was the subject y'all was just talking about?
Always get stuck on children. You were just talking. I mean, just talking about just how adults and the facade, and you know, is it facade or is it ego? Is it living beyond your means?
Right, facade is when you're trying to be somebody you're not. So I feel like it's not a facade. If you don't say something to somebody or share something with somebody, that means you're private. That don't necessarily. It's, I mean, the other person may have an idea of what you are or what you're not, but that's on them. Because you know you never
right,
gave
and
them
that's, right, and that's and that's what I was saying. If you're not saying anything, then what other people think, that's what they're perceiving. That's not that's necessarily not my, what you're putting out there.
Right, right. That's not my perception. That's what you think. So, I get that. That's probably one of the biggest issues I go through in my life. One person thinks I'm this when I'm really not, either good or bad. They'll have their own thought process because I am a private person. So. That is definitely a thing. And I don't think that's put on a facade, though. I mean, when you go out your way, for sure, to post something like on a Facebook or Instagram, I think that's always a thing. I think that's always an insecurity, though, for me. Like, people who post a lot, like pictures, and they only like, I think that's I'm not saying it's a good or bad thing, but I think it's to some degree, an insecurity. Like, they got to let people know what they're doing, where they at, how like what type of life they living. That's, yeah. I mean, for sure, that's a facade. That might be a facade, maybe not. Maybe it may be encouragement, but I think the intent behind it, and you typically know those people too. You know what they're on. You know your little snooty auntie or cousin. You know what I mean? You or you know if you just you got a you know the good encouraging you know pastor like person. I don't know in your family, so whatever.
No, and Chill makes a good point because. An allowance to me is necessary for kids. They need to have one and they need to have one early. You know, when you run out of money, oh well, you just gonna have to wait until, you know, your next payday, so to speak. You know, but what are you doing? I'm not giving you an allowance just to give you one. My son has to work for it. Well, you know, he had to work for it. You know, and you know, growing up, we had chores that we had to do. If we didn't do them, we did not get an allowance. You know, did our parents still give us things? Yes, but we had to save our money. We had an allowance. You know, it was none of that. I'm giving my kid everything because I didn't have. I mean, we can all say that we didn't have something. You know, but you know, budgeting is hard. But you save that dollar a week, you have that piggy bank where you empty your change from your pocket. And put it in the jar every night, whatever. You know, you don't spend, you know, now everybody has debit cards, what have you. You know, you have one account that's your mad money that you're only going to spend for this for the week. And the rest of it you put aside. especially now, you have to save your money. You need to teach your children how to save money so that they don't get to the point where, well, you buy it, or, you know, why can't you spend your money? Why can't you spend yours? You have it.
Yeah, even make money though. So I like even know how to invest and make money as well, because
yes. And also not being afraid to take that job that you feel is beneath you. And I know people who needed jobs and turned down jobs. Well, I'm not doing that. Well, I'm not doing that. Seriously. Like I said, you don't have a pot to piss in and a window to throw it out of. And you're saying you're not going to do that because of what? Yeah, well, you know what? You stay right where you are. I mean, to this day, you know, living in a state where we recycle, yes, I will get all my bottles together after a certain time, and I will take them down to the recycle bin, and they will give me my cash. And even though I very rarely carry cash anymore, I'll go straight to the ATM and I will deposit it. Or I will go to the gas station and put gas in my car. But yeah, I will save my bottles and cans and take them in to recycle. Yeah, I will. You know, but you know, living beyond your means and letting people think that you're one way and you're not. Does anybody really give a crap what you do? I mean, in this day and age, should we even really care? And I understand that with children and young kids, especially you're in high school, junior high, whatever, I get it. I get it. But when you're an adult, do you really give a crap if the person who you work with, your girlfriend's coming in with a $3,000 bag that she probably can't afford? And you're going to try to keep up with her? Nope, that's okay. I'll get my little no-name bag that I've been carrying for the last I don't know what, and I'm happy. I'm going to go, hold on, chill. Shelby, you've been quiet. Do you want to say anything, or you're just listening?
I'm listening. I try not to say much because I sound so bad.
Okay, I just wanted to check in. Okay, chill.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You talking to me?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So even then, the people that would matter to, why are they a point? Why are they important? Why are their opinions important where you got to fake it? Like, that's the thing.
That's what I'm saying. Why are they important? Why do you care?
And so that's the first thing that I feel like in a child, you have to teach them. Because it's the best place to teach them that, because they're in school. They're in that, because that's the hardest. Like, when you're young, it's definitely, like, it's hard. Like, going to school with the After Forces on and not the Jordans, you know what I'm saying? And just not having, being up with the in crowd and learning how to still be confident and being yourself and learn, like, just, that's a teaching moment, right? Because my mama ain't got all that money to be wasting. And really just to change your thought process of, like, damn, you live in a project, but you got Jordans all the time. What about your college fund? You know what I'm saying? If my father telling me that, my mom telling me that constantly, and the people I'm around telling me that, and they could afford Jordans, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what? So now you're shaping a child's mentality. And so you don't want to get them ridiculed all the time. So you're going to buy them certain things to kids stay off your back, not be bullied or made fun of, for sure. But teaching them that, that's the golden nugget, to learn how to stand on your own 2 feet mm-hmm. around whoever and do your thing and not worry about.
Yeah. Yeah, and saving money is essential. I mean, not just the economy. Just y'all don't know when you're going to have to go into your savings for something. Because one thing that I absolutely hate, and I'm not about to get into a whole new show, but one thing I absolutely cannot stand is when people go to that GoFundMe page. It's like, I don't have to save anything. I don't have to save for a rainy day because I can ask strangers for money. And that's the society that we've turned into, where just GoFundMe. You do need to save money. You need to budget, and you need to teach your children as well as yourself how to be responsible. So you don't have to put on that facade that goes deeper. And like A said, yeah, we all do something, whatever, but some people take it to the next level.
I think the one thing that we're forgetting, though, is that part of the reason why some people's facades get so carried away, and I couldn't differentiate why Joe's might be worse than Mary's and they grew up in the same household. But we instill in each other, we instill in our children, honestly, from the time they can comprehend and they start moving and we're trying to get them to learn things. We instill in them the need for validation and acceptance, from learning to walk to going to the bathroom in the big girl or the big boy potty. We instill in you that need for acceptance. So you're constantly, children are learning to constantly strive and look for acceptance from other people. Hence what brings them to the living outside of their means or putting on that facade to make it look like they're one way when they're really a not, because of, we've taught you from the time you were a toddler that acceptance and validation is something you absolutely need from outside sources, even if it's just your mom and dad, or if it's your cousins or your grandma or the kid down the street. We constantly repeat that same cycle.
Okay. All right. Well, I am going to go to last words. I'm going to start with Chill. Chill, do you have any last words?
No, that's an interesting take, though, Ace, because I wasn't thinking more of acceptance. I mean, when you're teaching a kid a reliability or responsibility, or, you know what I'm saying, that it's, you know, rewarding them for that. It is a certain type of acceptance, but it's the levels to it, right? But overall, I think the nugget here is to just start with responsibility. And if not, we know where that can go. You know, that road we can go down if we just always seeking validation or putting on facades. It's an overextension of yourself, sometimes your family, that can put you in a bad like just mode. So I would never take that over the ladder. You know what I mean? I'm always gonna go to like the other day, no stress route. I know we talked about it on another show a different day. I mean, Ace was on, but I'm always gonna take the no stress route, and hopefully most people will seek to be responsible. You got to splurge sometimes, but looking out for not only saving, but learning how to invest. Like my mama made me go out and shovel snow, do mm-hmm. yards, mm-hmm. do all that stuff. It was humbling, but it's also, after you learn that you can make money from it, you'd be like, dang, put your ego aside. And that's the main thing that I had to learn.
Okay. Ms. Shelby, you have any last words? And I hope you feel better.
I agree with Chill. I know it's unbelievable, right? My grandparents, when we were younger, my grandfather taught my sister how to mow the yard, and she mowed the yard for them. You know, of course, they were up in age, you know, at that time, but she mowed their yard every summer and mowed our yard every summer, you know, and I was too young, but and then I remember, learning how to pick the garden and help shelling peas and green beans and things like that, you know. So it's more or less, you know, trying to teach responsibility to children. And like Ace said, I do want to comment on one thing. I'm sorry. What Ace said about sitting her children down and showing them exactly what, you know, what bills are there, and, you know, being honest with your children. Don't not be honest with them. And, you know, some people say that doing that causes your children to grow up too fast. And I think in this day and time, in certain situations like bills, I don't think that's making your children grow up too fast, because that makes them realize, hey, look, you know, money's a good thing. Yeah. Having it's a good thing. Yeah. But going out and blowing it is not a good thing. And if you teach them young and what it, money is really all for, then I think that's a good thing. So, Ace, I think you're doing a good job.
Absolutely.
Okay. Ace, you have the last word.
I have no words besides thank you for allowing me up on this panel. I enjoy your shows, and I look forward to the next one. And thank you, Shelby, for the compliment.
Well, thank you guys, Chill, Shelby, and Ace, for coming up. Guys, tomorrow is Thursday. I am going to have a show. I just don't know what the show is going to be. It's not going to be anything deep. We've been talking about deep stuff all week, whatever. it is going to be something. I'm just not sure what it is. I have not posted it yet, but it will get posted, even if it gets posted tomorrow morning, whatever. I am trying to think of what the show is going to be. So, but it will have a show. So I'm still trying to do the comedy thing. I was thinking about doing a music show, but I don't feel like uploading any music, a whole bunch of music, whatever. But I will think of something. And if we do have a Thursday fun show, y'all just remember, just keep it fun. Don't come up and on the panel and say any philosophical whatever, because I'll boot you off. But other than that, guys, that's it. I'm going to clear the panel so we can get on with the music. The music, our going out music. And what else? That's it. So, guys, I'm going to leave y'all with. What am I going to leave y'all with? Hold on. I'm going to leave y'all with a bit of Smokey. Tears of a Clown.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. Enjoy your day or evening wherever you are in the world, and I truly hope to see you tomorrow. Bye.